Awake. How are you this morning? All right. So if you've already seen the title of the message today, it is God's Great Faithfulness. So we're going to start a little bit different. We don't always do this, but we're going to start a little different this morning. So I want you to close your head, close your eyes, bow your heads, close your head, close your head, close your mind. Okay. Open your heart. And I want you to think about, how has God been faithful to you already today? And if not today, if you can't think of anything today, I feel sorry for you. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe sometime this week, how has God been faithful to you? Just think about that. All right, did you come up with something? Great, because that's going to help put you in the mind and heart to be able to worship this morning, don't you think? But before we do that, let's kind of take a look at some things that are going on here. And you know what? To me, every Sunday morning, as I'm getting ready to come to this place called Lake Hazel Bible Church, I know God's faithfulness. Because God has been so faithful to this church for so many years. And he continues to be faithful to this church. Sunday after Sunday, week after week, moment after moment. And we are so blessed because we get to be a part of that. Aren't you blessed to be here this morning? I know that I am. All right, so not a whole lot going on this week. It's Friday, because it's July 4th, there's going to be an open house at the Crawfords starting at noon till they kick you out. And so if you're planning on being there, please make sure that you tell Diane. Diane's sitting in the back. Brian's running around here somewhere, but don't tell Brian because he won't remember. So tell Diane that you're planning on being there so that they know how to be able to count. If you want to bring your swimsuit and jump in the pool, it'll be open. So you can be able to do that. And then Saturday, men's breakfast is going to be at Cracker Barrel. For the month of July, August, and September, men's breakfast is going to be at Cracker Barrel. You got that, men? So if you show up at the church for men's breakfast, you're going to be here all by yourself. And there won't be any bacon. So, okay, all right, okay. So this coming Saturday morning, 8 a.m., men's breakfast at Cracker Barrel. And that'll be a great time. So, men, I hope you have that on your calendar. I hope that you'll come and enjoy that with us. There's an announcement about preparations are getting underway for the new Awana Club year. If you worked in Awana last year and are not returning, or you would like a different position than what you've served in last year, let Becky know that. If you haven't ever served in Awana and you've been thinking and praying that would be something you'd like to be able to do, let Becky know that as well. And so that would be a really good thing. Ladies, there's a announcement about Ladies Coffee Connection coming up on July 12th, and you'll need to be apprised of those details as well. Also, because God has been so faithful to this church, the mail slots out here in the foyer, did you know that everybody that's been coming for probably a little while, not if last Sunday was your last Sunday, probably not you, but if you keep coming, you'll have one. Everybody has a mail slot. You all know that? Some of you need to check your mail slots because you've got stuff in them. Okay, but anyway, we've run out of room on the mail slots. They are completely full. So if you have something that you want to communicate to me or you want to communicate to Michael as the church treasurer, we have some bins that are hanging outside my office door at the end of this hallway. How many of you have ever been down to my office? How many of you have never been to my office? Okay, well, if you head down towards my office at the end of the hallway, you'll see those two bins, those two full plastic folders. So if there's something you want to communicate to me or leave for me that fits in there or leave for Michael by way of communication, that's where you do it. So that's a good problem for us to be able to have, isn't it? That we don't have enough slots for the pastor and the treasurer to have their own, which is really no big deal. So God is so good, isn't he? God is so, so faithful, even sometimes when we're not, as we learned last week. Even sometimes when the Israelites were not as faithful, God was still faithful to them. So I hope you're ready to sing about God's faithfulness. I hope you're ready to hear more about God's faithfulness. And then I hope here in a little while you're ready to celebrate communion, which is a picture of God's faithfulness when it comes to our salvation. You ready? Then what are we waiting for?
Don't we have a birthday today?
Let's go. What?
Don't we have a birthday today?
We do? I don't know. Who?
Who?
Whose birthday? Well, Jack! Come on up here, buddy. And look at this shirt. Doesn't this shirt just grab you? I would say I want one, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure black and yellow is my color. But you do, you're rocking it really well. Good job. All right. So, Jack, you're 15 going on 105. What? How old are you?
10.
10? Whoa. All right. Okay. I remember when you were just a, well, we won't go there. All right. Okay. Let's sing happy birthday to Jack.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jack. Happy birthday to you.
All right. When you see him about after service, make sure that you personally wish him a happy birthday. All right. Now you ready? Let's get going.
Would y'all stand with me this morning? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's sing it again. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. With my heart rejoicing within, with my mind focused on Him, with my hands raised to the heavens, all I am worshiping Him. I will celebrate. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Please be seated as we continue. God is good, amen?
Amen.
He's worthy of our praise. Someday, someday, we'll be in His presence, and that'll be a great, great day.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? to my knees will I fall. Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to sing it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Lord, we look forward to that day. We look forward to that day where we get to be with you face to face. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What heart could hold the weight of your love and know the heights of your great worth? What eyes could look on your glorious face shining like the sun? You are holy, holy, holy God, most high and God, most worthy. You are holy, holy, holy Jesus. You are Jesus. You are. Your name alone has power to raise us. Your light will shine when all else fades. Our eyes will look on your glorious face, shining like the sun. Who is like you, God? You are holy, holy, holy God, most high and God, most worthy. You are holy, holy, holy Jesus. You are Jesus. You are. Who shall we say you are? You're the living God. Who shall we say you are? You're the great I am, the highest name of all. You're all you say you are. You are holy, holy, holy God, most high.
Jesus, you are. Jesus, you are. And you will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. All eyes will look on your glorious face, shining like the sun. Who is like you, God? You are holy, 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 God most high and God most worthy. You are holy, 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 Jesus, you are, Jesus, you are, oh, Jesus, you are, Jesus, you are, yes, Jesus, you are, Jesus, you are.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you did for us, your great faithfulness on display. Lord, thank you for what you did at the cross, and you gave us a life to live and a future home in glory with you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. It's only because of you, Lord, that we are alive and we have life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good, yes?
Yes.
We're going to take this morning's offering. And we're going to change the tone just a little bit and get happy. We're going to sing a song with Pastor Sam's favorite two words in it, but God.
I was dead in my transgressions, wandering in sin. I went searching for redemption down a road that had no end. I was walking through the fire. I was living on the run with my flesh lost in desire. I was drowning in the flood. But God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive. But God, strong and mighty, you reached out for me so I could rise. Now I'm alive. I am far from being perfect. There are days that I regret. On this battlefield I struggle with the lies that I have lived. I have fallen short of glory. I can't make it on my own. If you kept record of my past, I'd be sinking like a stone. But God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive. But God, strong and mighty, you reached out for me so I could rise. Now I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. I was in the grave, but God, you called me out. Now I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. I was in the grave, but God, you called me out. But God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive. But God, strong and mighty, you reached out for me so I could rise. Now I'm alive. Now I'm alive.
Amen. The Lord is good. Yes, give him a round of applause. Come on, if you're alive today, he's worthy of your praise. Amen.
You know, I got a confession to make. last night, I got real happy. You really want to know? It's because my NASCAR driver won his first race of the NASCAR season. I was happy. But I wasn't as happy last night as I was just now. Amen? It's one thing to be happy because your NASCAR driver did good. It's another thing to be happy because of God's great faithfulness. Turn with me in the Bible, if you will, to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23. And since this is a time for confession, I got to admit to you that today's message came with a lot of struggle, came with a lot of working. I had another idea in mind. I had a plan in place. I had a verse already picked out that kind of goes along with June being, you know, the day that we celebrate fathers and all of that. And I was going to kind of piggyback off of that. And I started into it. I thought I had it all down pat. I thought I was headed in the right direction. And God said, nope, that's not what I want you to do. And it's like, okay, God, now what do you want me to do? I was going in a direction. Now what? And so then he led me through a whole, and I don't have time to tell you the story, but he led me to these verses in Lamentations that we're going to look at this morning about God's great faithfulness. So today, we're going to reflect on God's great faithfulness. And as we dive into God's word, may our hearts and minds be open to understand and embrace the faithfulness of God. In the country of Armenia in 1988, Samuel and Danielle sent their young son, Armand, off to school. Samuel squatted before his son and looked him in the eye. "Have a good day at school and remember, no matter what, I'll always be there for you." They hugged, and the boy ran off to school. Hours later, a powerful earthquake rocked the area. During the chaos, Samuel and Danielle tried to discover what happened to their son, but they could not get any information. The radio announced that there were thousands of casualties. Samuel then grabbed his coat and headed for the schoolyard. When he reached the area, what he saw brought tears to his eyes. Armand's school was a pile of debris. Other parents were just standing around crying. Samuel found a place where Armand's classroom used to be and began pulling a broken beam off the pile of rubble. He then grabbed a rock and put it off to the side and then grabbed another one. One of the parents looking on asked, "What are you doing?" "Digging for my son," Samuel answered. The man then said, "You're just going to make things worse. The building is unstable," and tried to pull Samuel away from his work. Samuel kept working. As time wore on, one by one, the other parents left. Then a firefighter tried to pull Samuel away from the rubble. Samuel looked at him and said, "Won't you help me?" The firefighter left, and Samuel kept digging. All through the night and into the next day, Samuel continued digging. Parents placed flowers and pictures of their children on the ruins, but Samuel just kept working. He picked up a beam and pushed it out of the way, and then he heard a faint cry, "Help! Help!" Samuel listened but didn't hear anything again. Then he heard a muffled voice, "Papa?" Samuel began to dig furiously. Finally, he could see his son. "Come on out, son," he said with relief. "No," Armand said. "Let the other kids come out first, because I know you'll get me." Child after child emerged until finally little Armand appeared. Samuel took him in his arms, and Armand said, "I told the other kids not to worry because you told me that you would always be there for me." 14 children were saved that day because one father was faithful. God is even more faithful than that father. Do we understand that this morning? Do we let that impact our lives? That God is even more faithful than that earthly father. And because of God's great faithfulness, he is true to his character. He is reliable and trustworthy and can always be counted on. And that's what these verses in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, starting in verse 22, tells us. Hopefully by now you found Lamentations, chapter 3, in your Bible. Follow along as I read these verses. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, along with these verses in Lamentations, I am also reminded of what David says in Psalm 36 and verse 5, where David writes, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." Now, these verses should inspire and strengthen us believers, because knowing God's faithfulness brings comfort to our lives so that we can live with confidence. Now, I don't know if you know, but Jeremiah, the prophet, is the one who wrote the book of Lamentations. And Lamentations is really a book of sorrow. It's really a book of sadness. It's really a book of lament. In fact, if you read through the book of Lamentations, you will find at least 9 distinct different lamentations that Jeremiah is experiencing on behalf of God's interaction with the nation of Israel. So how do we define God's great faithfulness? Because here in Lamentations, Jeremiah defines God's love. He says the steadfast, that word steadfast in the Hebrew is a great picture word. It's a picture of the mountains. It's a picture of the stability and the strength and the majesty of the mountains. The mountains you can count on. Every time you see those mountains, they're still in that same place. They don't move. And that's the way God's love is. God's love doesn't move. God's love never, what's the word? Ceases. What's the word cease mean? End. God's love never ends. No matter how far away you walk from him, his love never ends. No matter how unfaithful you may be to him, his love never ends. His mercies never come to an end. Jeremiah describes for us God's love, describes for us God's mercy. He says they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He defines God's faithfulness as great. But what does that mean? How can we define God's great faithfulness? Well, let me try to do that for you. God's faithfulness means that everything he says and does is certain. Everything he does and says is certain. He is 100% reliable 100% of the time. Whoa. What? Doesn't get any higher than 100%, right? He does not fail, forget, falter, change, or disappoint. He says what he means, and he means what he says, and therefore does everything he says he will do. That is how we define God's great faithfulness. If you didn't get that, you might want to take a picture of it with your phone instead of having to write it down, okay? All right? So, because he does not fail, forget, falter, change, or disappoint, because he says what he means and means what he says and therefore does everything he says he will do, there are things about God's great faithfulness that we need to come to grips with this morning. And that's what we're going to do for the next couple moments. So here's the first one. God is faithful in his promises. On life's ever-changing journey, where certainties often come across our path, God's great faithfulness is a beacon of hope for us believers. God's promises are not mere words, but are a steadfast assurance that brings comfort, strength, and guidance. God's faithfulness and his promises is an important theme throughout the Word of God. And understanding their significance will genuinely impact the lives of believers today. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." God's faithfulness is evident in his unwavering commitment to his promises. And we don't have to go very far in the Bible to be able to realize that. Because from Abraham to the present day, God has consistently fulfilled his promises. God promised Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. They would have a land to call their own, and all the nations would be blessed through them. And these promises have been fulfilled. And in some ways are continuing to be fulfilled even to this day. How can that be possible? Because God does not waver or falter in his commitments. In God's promises, we find security and hope. One of the most important aspects of God's promises is the assurance that they bring. And folks, where do we find God's promises? We find them in his word. So if you don't know God's promises, then you need to get into God's word. Because from Genesis to Revelation, God has made promises. Some of those promises in the Old Testament are given to Israel directly, and they apply completely to the nation of Israel. But indirectly, they also have some application for us. They have some reasons for us to be able to know God's assurance. In this world filled with broken promises and unmet expectations, God's promises stand as a testament to his reliability. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Notice that God's promises are not dependent on me. They're not dependent on you. They're not dependent on the government. They're not dependent on the world. They're dependent on God. They're dependent on God's great faithfulness. Aren't you glad for that this morning? And in this world filled with uncertainty, God's promises bring about a sense of hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." We have hope because of God's great faithfulness. We have assurance because of God's great faithfulness. We have the hope that someday we're going to be in his presence, and we can only imagine what that's going to be like. But someday, if we believe in Jesus as Savior, we've been given this gift of eternal life in his presence, and we're going to be in his presence. It could even be a reality yet even sometime today. And this hope is not a fleeting emotion, but a deep assurance that transcends our circumstances. This hope provides stability and peace within the storms of life. To say that God is faithful goes to the very core of who he really is. Because if he did not keep his word, he would not be God. If he did not keep his word, he would not be God. God has never made a promise that he's ever broken. It's not in his character. Can't do it. You and I, if we made promises and then not kept them, yeah. But God, never. God's great faithfulness means that each attribute in his character is always working at full capacity. Whew. You didn't know we were going to get that deep this morning, did you? God's great faithfulness means that each attribute in his character is always working at full capacity. His eternality, his immutability. By the way, that word immutability, you know what that means? It doesn't change. His love, his mercy, his justice never changes. It's always working at full capacity. When does God's love fail? Never. Because he's faithful. When is God less than holy? Never. Because his character is pure. And he is always faithful to who he is, and therefore to what he says. So what he says in his word, he is faithful to keep. It will be the way that he says that it will be. Here's the second thing. God is faithful in our trials. God is faithful in his promises. God is faithful in our trials. On the road of life, difficulties and troubles are hazards that from time to time come our way. And these moments, physical, emotional, or spiritual, these difficulties can often leave us feeling adrift in a sea of uncertainty. But, I love that word, but, as Jared reminded you this morning, but God, but for us believers, there is a beacon of hope that shines through the darkest storms, God's great faithfulness. I don't know what storm you might have brought with you this morning. I don't know what storm you're going through in your life, but it doesn't really matter because God's faithfulness is greater than the storm. I don't know what circumstances you're going through at work or in your relationships or even in your physical health. God is greater than any of those storms. God's faithfulness is a capstone of comfort and strength, reminding us that we are never alone, even in those difficult times. And the Bible is full of verses that remind us of God's great faithfulness. And one of the best is these in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And drawing on God's faithfulness does not mean that believers are exempt from suffering. Instead, it means we have a source of hope and strength to draw from when that suffering comes our way, because God's faithfulness is ever present. He does not abandon us in our moment of difficulty. Instead, he provides the strength for us to rise above those challenges. Our trials are not meant to break us, but to build us. They're not meant to break us down, but they're meant to build us up. And through them, we will know God's steadfast love and faithfulness. Here's the third thing as we prepare for the celebration of communion this morning. God is faithful, not only in his promises, not only in our trials, but he is faithful in his salvation. I am pleased with that, aren't you? I'm excited about that, aren't you? I appreciate that, don't you? God's great faithfulness means that his plans and purposes endure. When God makes a promise, he fulfills it. And when he sets forth a plan, he completes it. And this consistency is a cornerstone of his faithfulness, which gives us a foundation of trust. And this is especially true when it comes to God's promise of redemption. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 through 6, speaks of a suffering servant who would bear the sins of many, a clear promise of Jesus's eventual sacrifice on the cross. And after this promise was made about 700 years, it was fulfilled. It was made 700 years before Jesus ever went to the cross. Wow. But it was fulfilled exactly as Isaiah said that it would. Listen to verses 5 and 6 of Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That word iniquity in the Hebrew, same word as sin. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wow. You see, salvation is an action of God's grace, initiated and completed by him. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Our salvation does not come from anything we did. It is God's gift because of his great faithfulness. No one will ever be able to brag about earning it. Our salvation is a testimony to God's great faithfulness as it depends on his love and mercy. The steadfast love of the Lord, what? Never changes. His mercies are what? New every morning. The faithfulness of God in our salvation is not a theological concept. It is a present reality that should impact our lives every day. Because the pinnacle of God's great faithfulness is his provision for our salvation. Because it doesn't depend on you. Doesn't depend on me. Doesn't depend on a spiritual leader. It depends on what Jesus did on the cross for us. Because that was God's faithful plan set in motion long before Adam and Eve ever sinned in the Garden of Eden. Through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we are assured of eternal life. God's faithfulness to his promise of redemption is the cornerstone of our belief. And let's remember that this morning as we celebrate communion together. Because the bread represents what? His broken body shed for us on the cross. The cup represents his blood shed for us on the cross because of God's great faithfulness. Did you deserve it? Nope. Did I deserve it? Nope. But because God is faithful, because he had a plan in place to be able to take care of the problem of sin for all of us as mankind, God is faithful in his salvation. As we come to communion this morning, let's remember that. Don't ever lose sight of it. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table. Let's remember Jesus.
His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. Rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in. Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord. The Lord of
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? This morning we counted our blessings, didn't we? And we remembered that if you counted more than one, you're blessed. So let's count them all up right now. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days.
Let's sing the next verse.
When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings that he cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Have a great day in the name of our Lord.